How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you've tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 9, verse number 37. The next day, it says, it came to pass that on the next day, the Lord Jesus has taken Peter, James, and John up into the Mount of Transfiguration, as we refer to it. Our Lord is transfigured before them. His glory shines forth brightly, and he meets with Moses and Elijah there, and the apostles, three apostles are there with him. They see the glory of the Lord, and they are blessed indeed by that. They don't know what to do. The Father speaks from heaven as this cloud overshadows them and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And so the directive of God Almighty is to hear what the Son has to say, and that the Father, God Almighty, has manifested himself to mankind through his Son. And he says, hear him, listen to him, hearken unto him, hear what he has to say, and obey him in every way. It says in verse number 37 of Luke 9, "And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met the Lord Jesus. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. Then lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." So we see here that this man is inquiring, is begging the Lord, "Help my child. Your disciples have been trying, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't accomplish it. And I'm begging you to please help my child of this spirit, this wicked spirit that has control of him. It teareth him, it won't depart from him, it's trying to kill him," as we understand from other passages in the scripture. "And Jesus answering said," verse number 41, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither." Now, This requires a question, or drums up the question in our hearts and mind. Who is it that the Lord is speaking about? Is he speaking about the Father? He says, "O faithless and perverse generation." Is he speaking about the people that are there looking on? Is he speaking about his disciples? Who is it that he's speaking about? He refers to the generation, and so it seems like that there's an element of all of those that are there. He says, "How long shall I be with you and suffer you?" Now, understand, I don't think that the Lord Jesus is declaring that of course, it was a great condescension for the Lord to step down and become a man, as he has, and to live the life of men, being conceived of his Father within Mary, and then being born, or being carried by his mother, and then being born, and then grow up and all that. It was really a step down for the Lord, coming from his glory to do so. But I don't think he's talking about, or I wonder, he's not talking about it being a hassle that he is with mankind. I wonder if not, according to what other things in the scriptures are said, is that the Lord Jesus is saying, "How long am I going to be with you and you not believe? How long am I going to be with you and suffer your unbelief?" I really think that that's what the Lord is getting at, is that I've been here this long, and you have fear that this cannot be done. To the disciples, He's going to tell them why they were unable to cast the demon out. And we've seen in earlier passages that when the Lord had sent out the 12, he gave them power over all devils at the beginning of this chapter, in verse number 1 of chapter 9. And so they had power over all devils, seemingly that has waned, not because of any change in the Lord, but just the Lord dealing with his disciples. He gives us the things that we need at the time that we need that, and then we are found deficient at other times, that our soul rest and hope and trust and faith would be in our Lord. And so he says, "O faithless and perverse generation." Now this of perverseness, why would it be that the generation at hand would be found perverse? Finding answers, looking for answers in another place, in another person, in another way, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's perverted to do so. Our Lord is the only one that has power. All right? Our Lord is the only one that has power, and it's perverse before him to look for help and a solution in any other way. It's going to tell us in this chapter that our Lord commands that all men pray unto the Lord. It's honoring and glorifying to the Lord for us to petition him for the needs that we have and to ask him in faith that he will work. And so the Lord says, and praise be at his name, bring thy son hither. He said, bring him on over here. The Lord has the answer. The Lord has every answer of every problem, every malady, every issue that we have. Our Lord has the answer, and indeed we need to bring it to our Lord. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, verse 42, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. So as this demon within this little boy was getting close to the Savior, he pitched up a fit again, and he is resisting that of the Lord. He knows that he is done, this demon does, this devil, this unclean spirit. He knows that the Lord Jesus will indeed deal with him, and he tears and foams in the boy, and Jesus rebuked him. He said, quit that, get out of him. And it says he healed the child. And then he took the child and brought him back to his father. Back to his father. Oh, may we entrust our children to the Lord. May we entrust our children. I don't know, maybe there are you that are there here under the sound of my voice in this broadcast that you've not entrusted. You are looking to take care of your children, and you need to do so in the physical sense to the best that you can with the help and strength and power and provision of the Lord. But have we entrusted our children unto our Lord? I tell you what, we need to. We need to entrust our children unto him. It's by entrusting our children unto the Lord that we will indeed keep them and have them, and there will be a blessing in their life. And they were all amazed, verse 43, at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples. And so they're there with their mouth hung open. It's a great and wonderful thing that the Lord has done for the boy, for the child. And they're just there stupefied at how wonderful, how complete, how instant that it is that the Lord does these things. And he says to his disciples, verse 44, let these sayings sink down in your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Our Lord Jesus is seemingly not even connected with what has just happened. And I think what is going on is that our Lord has come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He's spoken with Moses and Elijah about his death at Jerusalem, the scripture bears out. He's told the disciples that were there not to tell anything until after he's risen. And this thing, there is a sense that this thing with this child and this demon within this child and this man desiring to have his child healed, which are all good things. I mean, it's all good that the man would want his child to be healed. And it's a good thing that the demon be cast out of men, out of this child. But It's a distraction. It's a distraction to the main purpose and reason that the Lord Jesus has come. He says, fellas, get this. Let this sink down into your ears. As the Lord said on many occasions before, verily, verily, I say unto you, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. And so he makes that statement. He said, get a hold of that. Let that be in your heart. Let that be in your mind. Let that be in the innermost part of you. Let it sink down within you. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. You know, as they would think about this and consider this, this one that has power over the winds and the waves and the sea, he has the power over demons. Nobody can lay their hands on him at any time, even though they desire to do so. He's going to be given over into the hands of men, to be delivered into the hands of men, and indeed he will. He himself will yield to the will of the Father. The Father, if you will yield and or deliver over the Son into the hands of wicked men. It says in verse 45, but they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. So they didn't understand. It was hidden from them, the meaning of it. You know what? We live in a day that the meaning of it is not hid from us. What a blessing. What a blessing that for the Word of God, the Old and New Testaments, the Scripture, the books of the Bible, 66 books given to us by our Lord, and that these things are not hid from us. They're very plain. The things at the time of their happening that the apostles didn't even understand, you and I are blessed to be able to understand them in the Lord's Word. And we have the account here. It says here that they didn't perceive it. It was hid from them. They didn't understand it. And as it is, the Lord having referred to them and us earlier, O faithless and perverse generation, they feared to ask him of that saying. They were afraid. What's that mean, Lord? What are you talking about? They were afraid. Maybe they remember the time when the Lord Jesus had said such, and Peter said, far be it from thee, Lord, and the Lord rebuked him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, maybe they were just, when the Lord starts talking about dying, just don't say anything. Maybe that was it. They just didn't understand. They didn't understand what our Lord came to do. How about you? Do you hear and believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for sinners? How that he came down from the portals of glory and was conceived within his mother Mary by the Holy Spirit of God and was carried by her into full term and then delivered of her and then raised up as a babe, as a toddler, as a young boy, as a man, young man and a man. That in the prime of his life, he laid down his life for wicked sinners like you and me. I pray that you'll hear, and our prayer and desire is that you'll hear, you'll repent, and you'll believe in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the salvation of your soul. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.